right, thank you, everyone. And actually, we have a guest today. I don't know, if, are you Rachel's friend or just?
No, I'm Rachel.
Oh, you're Rachel. Oh, your dad came here last 2 weeks ago. Okay. Well, and what grade are you in, Rachel? 11th grade. And what school do you go to?
Sonora.
All right. Well, let's give Rachel a hand. All right. It's literally Rachel Rowe right there. We have. What's your last name, Rachel? Rachel So, Rachel Song, and Rachel Lee. So.
Oh, yes.
We'll have to figure it. And we have. Oh, and also we have David. He's here. He's Joseph's friend. David is an 8th grader at Oxford Academy. So let's welcome David. David, you want to stand up so everyone can see you?
Woo!
All right. Good to see you here. Thanks for pointing that out for me. All right. Well, I just want to thank you guys for praying for me and for really just... hold on. I'm going to grab my clicker, okay? Thank you, everyone, for praying for me while I was gone. I was gone for 2 months, and it seemed, when I left, it seemed like it was going to be like a really long time. But actually, while I was there, it actually felt like it went by really quickly. And I really want to thank our church. I felt so supported. You know, a lot of you guys texted me, you know, asked me how I was doing while I was there. Many of you guys supported me financially, and I know a lot of you guys were praying for me. In fact, I was in Daniel's apartment. Daniel and I are next door neighbors, and I went into their apartment to print something. And while I was printing something, you know, Nina has like a little workstation, and she has like one of those little cork boards. And then I saw that my prayer letter was on her cork board, so she had printed it out and so that she could remember to pray for me. So thank you guys so much just for your. I just felt super loved and supported by you guys. Really appreciate that. I wanted to share with you a little bit about my time in Vietnam and what I was doing there, how did I end up there, and what did I learn. So I'm going to be sharing about my B4T experience in Vietnam. B4T is an acronym, stands for Business for Transformation, and it's a business as missions network that I found out about, and I'll share kind of. How did I end up in Vietnam? I know for a lot of you guys, you just like saw this picture in your email and I was gone. And I was like, what the? Vietnam? It's like so random, right? And I know it kind of felt like that, but there was a story behind it. And I really feel like God was leading me. How did I end up in Vietnam? This time last year, I was in my last year of seminary. And I knew that by December 2017, I would be graduating from seminary. And I had no idea what I was going to do after graduation because I had quit my job to go to school, to be trained in seminary. But I knew that once I graduated that I probably could not get a full-time salary here at OKC. And so most of my classmates, you know, they graduate and either their church kind of gives them a full-time like position or they find another church that where they can work and support themselves, right? Be a pastor and get a full-time salary. And I knew that that just wasn't the case here. But I knew that I wanted to stay, you know, if possible. And so I started praying, God, is there a way for this to work out? How can I continue to serve at OKC, but also be able to pay my bills? So as I was praying, a few different things happened. In June, I got connected to this guy. His name is Patrick Lai. That's not his real name. But he goes by, that's his kind of public name for security purposes. And he is the head of a network called the B4T network or the Open Network. And so through him, I kind of found out more about this idea of business as mission, which is the idea of doing business in places that need the gospel for the purpose of blessing the community and witnessing about Jesus Christ. And so I met him in June over Skype, and then in November, I went to a conference in San Jose called the B4T Expo, where I learned more and more about this idea of business for transformation. And It was a 3-day conference. I learned a lot, met a ton of people. And literally the last person that I met 10 minutes before I got into my rental car to go back to the airport was this guy. His name's James Price, and he has a company in Vietnam called CDEV. And CDEV, I'll share more about it, is a web development company, a digital marketing company. And I met him right before I got in my rental car, and everything just seemed to click. Both what he was looking for and what I was looking for, it was the same. And so we said, let's keep talking. And so he continued, he interviewed me, he talked to Pastor Daniel as a reference, and apparently Daniel said some nice things about me because I graduated December like 15th or something from Biola, and I got a job offer December 28th, and then in January 18th, I was on a plane to Vietnam. And so everything just happened so quickly, and I really feel like it was God's timing and God's leading. So that's how I ended up in Vietnam. And that's kind of why I was looking for like a business as missions opportunity or internship, was that because, you know, that's, I feel like God's been leading me in that direction. And also I felt like it was a way that I could continue to serve here at OKC, but also be able to support myself. So just why did I end up there? I really feel like I did not intend on looking for something in Vietnam or anything like that. But God just opened those doors as I sought his leading in my life. So, you know, some of you guys, I'm sure, have this question, why business as mission? Why not just go to missions doing traditional mission work, like Pastor Daniel and Ruth in the Philippines? Like what they were doing was basically a Bible college. Why not do some other kinds of missions? Why business? I think there are different reasons why. I've learned that people around the world are starting to look towards business as a way of doing missions. First of all, this is primary. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What is this passage known as? The Great Commission. This is, in the book of Matthew, this is the last thing, the last recorded words of Jesus. As he ascends into heaven, he gives us this mission to go into all nations. But there are still billions of people on planet Earth and many, many countries around the world where they don't have churches, where they don't have the gospel. And in fact, many of these countries, these blue countries here, this is known as the 1040 window. And the reason why it's called the 1040 window is because these are the countries in between the latitudes of 10 and 40, where this is where most of the world's unreached population resides. Okay, these countries are not only non-Christian, but many of them are hostile to Christianity. And so in many of these countries, you can't go in as a missionary. They won't let you in there if you say that you're a missionary. Does that mean that the church should not try to do missions in these countries? No, Jesus' commandment is very clear. Go into all nations and let them know who I am. Tell them the good news of the gospel, right? And so why business? Because the only way to get into these countries, a lot of times, is through a business visa, okay? So why business? There's one, I think one kind of just easy to understand reason is because that's the way to get in. That's the way to get in, and that's the way to share the gospel. So that's one reason. The second reason of doing why business is because business is a way to bless people. I want to share with you guys a story from the Bible, from Matthew chapter 15. I think it's 14 actually. I typed that incorrectly. But Matthew chapter 14 is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Let's read this. I'll read the odd verses, and can you guys read the even verses if you guys can see the screen? Okay. So Matthew chapter 14 verses 15 through 20. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." You guys read verse 16.
Jesus replied, "They did not need to go away. You give them something to eat."
"We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered.
"Bring them to
eat."
Verse 19, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Let's read verse 20 all together.
They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over.
Why did Jesus feed the crowds? Right? They were hungry. They were there to listen to Jesus' teaching. They got hungry, and the disciples said, send them away. Tell them to go find their own food. They were out in like in the remote countryside. There are no restaurants for it, right? But Jesus said, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat, right? And Jesus gave them something to eat, and then they were all full and they were satisfied. Anytime we see, right, Jesus' ministry in the Gospels, we see kind of a pattern, okay? Jesus met people's physical needs. Back then, what were their needs? People were poor. They didn't have access to medication, and they often didn't have food. And they were there was a lot of demonic oppression. And so what we see Jesus doing is a lot of his ministry was feeding people, healing sick people, and casting out demons, right? Jesus met their physical needs, and then he preached, and then he taught them, right? And when I noticed this, I really kind of stopped to think about this. Why did Jesus do ministry in that way? Why did he bother to meet people's physical needs? I think it's because he had compassion on them, but also I think it's because when you have some sort of physical need, right? You don't have space in your head to think about spiritual things. You know, sometimes we're sitting here in the congregation and you're hungry, right? And you start to get hangry. And I don't care like who's speaking up here or how good the message is. If you're hungry, you're going to start to get distracted, right? You can't help think about, oh, what's for lunch, right? Or if you're really sick, right? If you're really sick, you can't think about anything other than, I want to get well. And it could be like Francis Chan up here speaking, but if you're super sick, your heart's not going to have space to really receive that. And so what we see is that Jesus met people's physical needs to bless them and to open up their hearts to receive the word. And so business is a way to bless people. Why? Because around the world, there are a lot of places where people still need food, people still need water, people still need doctors. There are a lot of places in the world that still have those basic needs. But there are other places in the world, there are so many places in the world that have those basic things. And if you go there with food, right, or if you go there with water, they're like, what are you doing? You know, I can buy this on my own. But around the world, there are a lot of places where what people need is jobs. People need jobs. Is that true? Do your parents need jobs? Aren't you guys all in school so that you can have good jobs? People need jobs. And so to go and start a business, right, that not only blesses the community but also provides people with jobs that they need is one way to meet people's needs. And so that's another reason why business as missions. Why business? The first is Jesus told us to go. The second is because people need jobs. And the third is because business is a natural way to build relationships with people. Raise your hand if you work. All right. How many hours a week are you guys with your coworkers? A lot. Too many, right? More than you would like, okay? If you are in an office, or if you work in a job, or if you're a teacher and you work with your students, you're with the people that you're working with for more time out of the week than you're with your friends, more time that you're spending with them than your family even, a lot of times, right? Business is a way to build relationships with people. And I definitely found that to be the case in my company at CDEV. I was spending 40 plus hours with these people. And over the course of the 2 months that I was there, I became not just their coworkers, but I became their friends. And they would say that I became their family. And so business, why business? Business is an awesome way to build relationships with people. And these are just my colleagues, but also with your clients, Right? If you think about relationships that you build with your clients, as I'm quickly finding out in my new position here as a salesperson. Okay? So why business? Three main reasons. Jesus told us to go. Business, people need jobs, and business is a natural way to build relationships with people. So what did my day-to-day look like in Vietnam? What did my internship look like? My day-to-day started off with me waking up and going to work, and this kind lady here would give me breakfast, okay? So, her name is Mary. She's 30 years old, and she's a believer. And her job was to take care of all the people, including me, and she would buy me breakfast every day. And so I would eat breakfast, and then I would work on my stuff. I did operational projects. If you're in the business world, I did like process improvements and trying to figure out how to improve our customer experience. And this was where I sat. This is my computer, and there was a large window. And this is Da Nang, and that's the ocean right there. And these tall buildings are hotels. And Da Nang is, this is, you can't even see kind of how many hotels there are, but Da Nang is exploding. There are like millions upon millions of Korean tourists coming to Da Nang. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. But every day, there are 11 direct flights from Incheon to Da Nang. And I'm talking about like the 747s, like the biggest, you know, the biggest planes. So Da Nang is exploding in Southeast Asia. People call it the most livable city in Southeast Asia. It's exploding with tourism. Last year, there were 100 hotels built in the city of Da Nang. And they hosted, they were the host of the 2017 APEC, which is the Asian Pacific Economic Coalition, which is kind of like the Asian version of the G20. So it's like a big economic conference, okay? And all the Vladimir Putins and the Xi Jinpings and Donald Trumps, they all went to this city last year to hold that conference, okay? So that's where I was, and that's what I would do during the day. Every day I had lunch together with my coworkers, almost every day. This is kind of what I would eat almost every day, at least two times a week. Is this restaurant we went to. It's a noodle dish called mi guang, and it's a flat rice noodle. Inside there's like this broth, flavorful broth with like some turmeric, and it's like a meat and seafood broth. And then you put in a little bit of meat, a little bit of chicken, and then some fresh herbs and vegetables, and it's served with fish sauce and some other stuff. It was awesome. People asked me how the pho is in Vietnam, and I only ate pho two or three times in my 2 months, because it's kind of like how people think that Koreans only eat bibimbap and Korean barbecue and kimchi. Well, actually, you know, they only eat pho like every once in a while, and especially where I was, they don't really eat pho that much. Pho is more of like a northern food, and I was in central Vietnam. So the local dish around there is this, mi quang. Okay, so I would eat lunch, and then every day afterwards, we would get Vietnamese coffee. Oh yeah, it's awesome. That's so good. This is Vietnamese coffee, and then the thing on the right is like a tea that they drink. Okay, and then afterwards we would play Uno. So CDEV is a tech company, and James, really, our boss, really wants it to have like a progressive culture, and so we work really hard, we do really good work, but he also is not like a dictator kind of boss. You know, we have a lot of fun in the office.
Where are you?
Where am I? I'm taking a picture.
You lost.
No, dude, come on, man. I was the best. I was okay. I'll teach you guys how they play. You think Uno's kind of a lame game, and that's what I thought, but actually the way they play it was really fun. So there's some extra rules that they play with. So we play Uno, and then we go back to work. And then after work, I would go home, and usually I would have dinner by myself. Yeah, but also there were many times where I'd be doing ministry in the evenings. And what I mean by that is there were, over the course of the 2 months, God opened up the doors for me to meet so many wonderful Christians in the area, missionaries and locals who are doing outreach, who are doing evangelism and things like that, in creative ways, because you have to be careful about how you do things over there. And so my evenings, I would try as much as possible to be doing, to be out of the house, doing things out in the city, meeting people and trying to share with them about Jesus. So that was my typical day-to-day. What I found about as far as my work time is that being a dependable coworker led to spiritual conversations. When I first got to Vietnam and I was like, you know, my typical day was like so grind, it was such a grind. You know, I would wake up, I'd go to work, I'd work really hard. During the day, like all I'm focused on is my work. And all the while I'm like building relationships with my coworkers, but like a month into it, I remember thinking, you know, like I'm really enjoying my work and I'm finding that I'm really good at it. But is this trip just about business or is it also about mission? I remember having that thought, right? But what I realized was that being a good worker, being a valuable employee led eventually to spiritual conversations in the office, okay? And that couldn't happen until I had first kind of earned their respect, right? And also become a valuable member of the team. So one of my key ministries obviously was to my coworkers. And I want to share a story about this guy in particular. His name's Nathan. His Vietnamese name, if I say it correctly, it's like Ngo.
What?
Yeah, Ngo. Yeah, Ngo, that's his name. So I just call him Nathan. He's our lead web developer. He's a really, really talented guy. And he has cerebral palsy. And so he has a disability, and it's pretty amazing. It's amazing to me that this guy, what he's overcome in his life, and it's amazing to me that our boss hired him, because I think he would have had a hard time finding a job in most Vietnamese companies, or maybe they would not empower him the way that he's been empowered in our company. But Nathan is a really, really good guy, and because we became friends, he invited me to get coffee towards the end of my internship, and then he just wanted to talk about girls and stuff like that. And then over the course of the conversation, we actually started talking more about, you know, spiritual things, because he's been working for James for about 6 years, and he just told me, like, C-Dev, I love working for C-Dev. You know, everywhere else I go, I don't feel comfortable. People laugh at me, you know, people don't respect me. But at C-Dev, people respect me, I feel comfortable in my own skin, and I love working here. And I asked him, what do you think the difference is between C-Dev and other places, you know, other companies in Vietnam, other aspects of your culture? And he said, I really think that it's like the Western culture. I think that because James is an American, it really makes a difference. And I asked him, okay, there's so many Americans, so many Westerners in this city, right? So many companies in this city. And do you feel like you do at C-Dev around those people? And he thought about it and he said, no, not really. And I said, well, then it's not because of the Western culture. That's not the difference. What is it about C-Dev that makes it different? And he thought about it and then he had this moment and he said, I think the difference is God. And I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. The difference is God. You know, C-Dev has such an amazing culture. I worked for 6 years before I quit my job and went to school. I never felt like the workplace was a place that I wanted to be. I never felt like my coworkers were people that I wanted to hang out with. I never felt like the workplace was a place where I could just, you know, witness about Jesus. Always felt restricted. Vietnam is a restricted nation. You're not allowed to share the gospel there. But James has created a culture where every day I felt like I was a witness of Jesus to my coworkers. And James is pretty bold, I think, considering that he's the owner of a company. He prays every Monday morning when we have our weekly staff meeting. He prays openly for our work and for our coworkers. He prays whenever we have staff meals together. He talks to his employees about Jesus when he gets the chance in one-on-ones and things like that. And so Nathan is not a Christian yet, but over the past 6 years, Nathan has definitely seen that there's a difference. And he said, yeah, the difference, I guess it's not because James is an American, I guess the difference is God. And so being a coworker, being a good coworker to this guy, led to that conversation. There was another conversation where I was having with our middle managers And we were talking about one of the problems that we were trying to solve is that in Vietnam, because of their education system, there are certain things that kind of, there are ways that people think that actually limit their creativity. And what they're taught from a young age is that there's a right answer and a wrong answer. And so as a designer, we're a design firm, right? That often we see that that often limits people's creativity and they're afraid to kind of go outside of the box. And we were talking about how do you solve this problem? How do you solve this problem? And the middle managers were looking to me and they said, you're from the West, you tell us how to solve this problem. And I said, you know, I'm familiar with the American culture, with the Korean culture, and now I'm learning the Vietnamese culture. I've been around the world, but I've never found the answer to fear in culture. And I said, in my personal experience, the only time that I've ever felt fear, free from fear, is when I know that although I'm a failure, I'm still accepted by God. And I just started sharing very openly about how the gospel message of facing, really facing my failures, and really just seeing, you know, what a failure I am, but instead of receiving the condemnation that I knew that I deserved, I received the grace of Jesus Christ. I shared about the examples that I've experienced of that in my life. And one of the guys, he's our lead designer, he's kind of a hard guy. Actually, he's kind of one of the guys in our company that maybe kind of rules by fear. And it's because that's the way that he grew up. His dad was like an army general or something like that. And I saw, as I was talking about my own experience of grace and freedom from fear, I saw him kind of tear up like, he kind of did this, right? Because the gospel message that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, it is a message that people need to hear. It is a message that gives life. And if you truly experience it, you will know what I'm talking about, how it really sets you free from fear. It's something that, you know, outside of Jesus, I don't think the world knows about. It's a message that is worth proclaiming. And so I was able to really witness to inside of the office. It was really amazing that God gave me those opportunities. And because we had already built relationships, sharing about my faith was so natural. I can't tell you how natural it was and how open they were to hearing from me. I actually also got a chance to, these are my, I don't know why I put this in there. But yeah, they came to drop me off at the airport, which is really nice. I also got a chance to, James does this thing called Social Forum, where every Wednesday, a different person in the company gets to present on a topic that they're interested in, and the first time that you present, you get to just talk about yourself. And I just talked very openly about my testimony during this time. And they knew that I was a youth pastor, so it was very natural for me to share about my faith. And it was really amazing. As I was sharing, everyone's eyes were just, everyone was locked in. And I know that God was ministering to these people during that time. Outside of work, I did a lot of ministries. One of the ones that I was involved with is this English club. And this guy became I became his roommate. He's an American guy from Texas. And he moved out to Vietnam. Basically, he retired early from Verizon. He moved out to Vietnam to become a missionary. And what he does is he does English clubs, builds relationships with local students. And what he told me was he invites them to his home and cooks for them. He's an excellent cook. I don't know if you could tell that he likes eating, but he's an excellent cook. So we became good friends, obviously. And he said, you know, some people's ministry is behind the pulpit, and my ministry is in my kitchen. And so he opens up his home and invites kids in, and they do English together and stuff. You guys remember Tree? He's not here today, but Tree is my friend from Vietnam. I actually didn't meet him until here, but this is Tree's girlfriend. Her name is Chan An. And then this lady is she's a Venezuelan, I think, and she's there for missions as well. And then this girl here is a Filipino from the Philippines. And, you know, I was just on this note. If you go to the mission field, it's so encouraging. If you go here to Da Nang, you'll meet people who just the most encouraging people. They're just, everyone, all the Christians that you meet are just on fire for Jesus. And I'm not just talking about missionaries who, you know, left their homes, but I'm talking about the locals too. And I think what we find in places where it's hard to be a Christian is that it kind of weeds out lukewarm people. And so just the people that you meet who are believers are just on fire. Like, for example, her, she's amazing. Yeah, good for Tree for being with her. Sorry, let me gather my thoughts here. Oh, and also part of this, I cooked for them tacos. So we had Mexican or Californian style tacos, and then we had Vietnamese style tacos here. And we had a night where we just kind of hung out and shared, and then I also had a chance to share my testimony there. And you can see how happy he is to hear my testimony, right? It was really cool. Few things, I just want to end with a few things that I learned during my time there. You know, I think that traveling in general gives you perspective, well, I think all the more so when you're doing missions. And the first thing that I want to share is that, you know, here we complain about white privilege, right? You guys know what white privilege is? It's like the idea that if you're an American, if you live in America and you're white, you get opportunities here in this country that people of color or minorities don't get. And I don't know, if you're super young, I don't know if you've like dealt with this, or if you've seen this, but if you're a little bit older, I'm sure there are ways in which you've seen this is true, right? And I don't think it's anything, most of the time, it's not on purpose, it's just white people just have a way of being able to skate through life and get opportunities that, you know, minorities don't get. I see some of you guys nodding, right? What I learned in missions is this: we are also privileged. Okay? Just because I was an American, just because I spoke English, I was treated like a king. Right? I would go and park my motorbike in some restaurant, and at the restaurants, because like they don't have parking lots, you just park on the sidewalk, and like it's like so crowded, you can't figure out like where you're supposed to park. And I remember going to one restaurant, and the parking attendant, like, I didn't know, he didn't, you know, I was like obviously not from around there, I was like, you know, like an idiot, and, you know, I said, sorry, I need your help or something, and he's like, oh, right? And like, he like forgets about everyone else, and he's like, oh, like, you know, he's like shaking my hand repeatedly, and he like, you know, helps me take off my helmet and stuff, and like, oh, whoa, it's like, calm down, I'm like, I'm not anyone important, but like, Everywhere I went, you know, just because I speak English, just because I'm an American, I was treated like so well. I had so many different opportunities, so many ways, just ways to connect with people that normal people wouldn't have. I remember James's father-in-law is an American guy. He lives in this city, and the first Starbucks in that city opened while I was there. There was a line like 400 or 500 people deep. James's father just kind of comes downstairs, he's walking, and like, oh, what's going on, right? And he goes to the front of the line, and then the manager sees a white guy, and he's like, oh, please come in, sir. You know? Which, my coworker heard that story, and he said, that's not fair. You know, how is he better than the 400, 500 locals that waited in line, right? And the answer is, yeah, it's true, it's not fair, right? It's not fair. But that's just the way that the world is. By virtue of the fact that you live here in America, that you have a Western education, that you speak English, you will have opportunities other people don't have. So what are you going to do with that? Right? Our privilege is real. Wake up, and what are you going to do with it? That's something that I learned. Right? Jesus says that to whom much has been given, much more will be demanded. And I'm telling you guys right now that you have been given much. Right? And you can kind of bury your head in the sand, you can exploit it for your own purposes, or you can release that and bless other people for the kingdom. Amen? Second thing that I learned is this: God has good plans. Man, you know, when I quit my job, you know, I kind of see this as like the final episode in the arc of my 4-year journey where I quit my job. I just thought life was so terrible. I thought God you know, was, I don't know, I just was so bitter against God. I thought that I was losing everything, right? But what I found is that God was preparing me for something better. God has good plans for you, and I saw that God has good plans for me. And it just takes a little bit of trust, a little bit of trust and a little bit of sacrifice to unlock the plans that he has for you. But his plans for you are good. He says in Jeremiah 29 to the sinful Israel exiles, he says to them, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Guys, God has good plans for you, so trusting him is a good idea. Trust God. Just trust him. Trust him as much as you're able to, right? If you can only trust him by taking one step forward, then take that step and watch how he continues to lead you step after step. God has good plans for you, and when you trust him and you take those steps of faith into the unknown, he blesses you. And that was my experience. Finally, what I learned is that God knows me really well. I could not have orchestrated all the wonderful things that I experienced and all the good things that happened to me while I was in Vietnam. But I found that as I, you know, obeyed God's leading into the unknown, man, everything was perfect. Like, I stepped into that office, and the first week, I remember thinking, you know what, I haven't worked for 4 years, and so, like, you know, there are a few things here and there where I'm kind of getting caught up, but oh my gosh, I am really valuable here at this company. You know, I could never orchestrate that. You know, and this whole business as missions thing, I did not go into seminary thinking, oh, I'm going to do business as missions. It's something that God led me into. But you know what? He knows me, right? And as I follow his leading on my life, he's leading me into the path that I don't have to stake out a path for my own, because God has already prepared something that fits me. God knows us really well, and he knows what makes me happy. So just trust in him. Finally, I want to share just a kind of a story. A few weeks into my internship, one of my coworkers, she invited me into her and her husband's home for dinner. It's a white lady. She's the only other white American person that worked for the company in the Vietnam office. And so she invited me into the home with several of her friends. And I was the only believer in the room. But it was a very open and accepting setting, and I could sense that God was giving me an opportunity to share about my faith. As we went around the room sharing about ourselves, I explained that I had recently graduated from seminary with a master's degree, and that I was in Vietnam for a business internship, and that raised some eyebrows around the room. "Why the change in direction?" one of the people asked. "Isn't doing business a departure from your seminary training?" But I explained, "Some seminarians use their training to minister in the church as full-time pastors. Others of my colleagues work in education, some in the nonprofit sector. I feel that God is leading me to use everything I've learned in seminary about the Bible and about Jesus to impact the world through business." And that's kind of my conviction on how God's been leading me. And I get really excited at the thought of being a B4T practitioner. I get really excited at the thought of working for CDEV and continuing to minister here at OKC. And it really seems like it's the right fit for my skill sets, my passions, and my makeup. And I went to Vietnam with a lot of questions about my future, but I left feeling like I got a lot of really clear answers. And so I just want to praise God for his great love and his faithfulness, and for you guys for providing for me an opportunity to go and experience that. Thank you.
All right, let's give it up for Stephen one more time. Super encouraged by